This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, we thank you on this day for an opportunity to come, to serve, to worship, to learn, to grow in you. We ask now that you bless us as we seek to be a blessing unto others. Speak now to us, God. And as you speak to us, we will in fact speak to others, that those who don't know you will come to know you and will grow in you. We thank you, we love you, we adore you. Speak now, God, that we your servants may hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless us now. Amen and amen. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Tell somebody around you. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God in the very beginning created everything that was. And then, as God created heaven and earth, let there be light, let there be the firmament, all of that that he created. Then he took the time to form man out of the dust of the earth. We know that first man to be formed, name was Adam. But we know that it wasn't until God breathed into Adam, until what he had formed, it wasn't until he breathed into Adam that then he became a living soul. Well, we know the story that Adam, as he walked on this earth, Adam and Eve got to a point where they transgressed, where they sinned, where they did not do that God had said do. They disobeyed God, and therefore sin came into the world. I like the way I heard one preacher put it, that when Adam sinned, that's when everything bad happened. We know that death came at that point, but he says that's when everything bad happened. Everything was great, everything was perfect. The world was just as you could, there wasn't anything you could think of that's bad. There wasn't any aches, no pains at all until sin came into the world. Everything was great. I mean, to put it so plainly, as everything that you could think of as bad, unpleasant, did not come until Adam sinned, until sin came to the world. Saying that you didn't even have bad breath until Adam sinned. Everything was just perfect. Everything was in place. Everything was what you could possibly imagine that it could be. Didn't have any corns on your toes. There was nothing at all that would disturb you or make you upset. There were no bill collectors. There wasn't anybody calling that you had to check your caller ID to see who it was. None of that was going on because there had not been sin. But when Adam sinned, we could say he messed it up for all of us. Adam failed, he sinned, and humanity failed. Death entered the world. Creation had fallen. But also in the beginning was the Word. Amen. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word came and dwelt among men, dwelt among us. Jesus had to come after Adam's fall, or shall I say, after man's fall, after our fall. But Jesus didn't come right after Adam fell, but after 40 and two generations, the second Adam came to restore what the first Adam had lost. He came and he lived. Jesus went about doing good. Yeah. And even before he died, he taught us how to live. Let me say it again. Even before Jesus died of physical death, he taught us how to live. He taught us how to love. He taught us how to care. He taught us how to give. He taught us how to forgive. He taught us how to make it through all the various things and trials and tribulations that we were having in this world. Matter of fact, he even taught us how to be humble, especially when we have perceived power and authority. But the only power and authority we have is that God grants unto us. God allowed, as Jesus walked on this earth, that we can know that Jesus lived a perfect life. Amen. He lived a life without sin. And it was very important that he lived a life without sin, because he realized he had to take on our sin. We had to have a perfect sacrifice to atone for all the stuff that we have done. I said, all the stuff we have done, all the stuff we have done, all the stuff we are doing, and all the stuff that we will do. And we thank God that Jesus came for that purpose. Just as in the Old Testament, that in order to atone for sin, there had to be the shedding of blood. A lamb, a perfect lamb, had to be found. A lamb without spot or blemish. A lamb was found laid on the altar. And the priest would say to all of those out of there, all of your sins. He would say to the lamb, and the priest would take on all the sins of the people, and the high priest would take on all the sins of all the people. And once the high priest took on all the sins of all the people, he'd have the lamb before him, the perfect lamb. He'd have that lamb before him and say in a ceremony, a ritual, my eyes are now your eyes. My head is now your head. My arms are now your arms. My legs are now your legs. My body is now your body. But the height, the climax of the whole ceremony was he said, my sins, which were now the sins of everybody, are now your sins. And then when he put the sins on the lamb, they would kill the lamb and the blood would atone for all of their sins. The only problem with that whole scenario was that right after they were leaving the whole ceremony, somebody else would mess up. And then you got somebody else sin. So now you got to wait again to get another lamb to do it all over again. But look at how God loves us so much that we don't have to have the blood sacrifice every time we come into worship to atone for all of our sins. That's why when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus lived a life to be that perfect sacrifice for you and for me. So he came. We are united with Christ in his death and his resurrection. Yeah, it's a definite order to this thing, and we understand how all of this transpires. Paul in this text seemed to be thinking of three different groups. You have Christ, then you have those who have fallen asleep in Christ, and those who are still alive and still be alive at the coming of Christ. In other words, you have those, let me say it again, you have Christ, and you have those who have fallen asleep in Christ, and then you have those who will be alive at the coming of Christ, or the parousia, as we call it. The latter two categories kind of put us together as those who are being in Christ, belong to Christ, and are therefore in the care and responsibility of Christ. Right. That's those who have fallen asleep in Christ, and those who will still be alive at the second coming of Christ. We all will find ourselves being in Christ, and which means Christ is our everything. Well, what Paul is establishing is that this resurrection is a future event. Yeah, resurrection is a future event, but assured because of the continuous, keep in fact that it also is a past event. Mm-hmm. It's a past event because of Christ's own resurrection. Christ has already died, he was buried, and he rose from the grave. But because Christ has died and buried and rose from the grave, his resurrection was already a resurrection that has happened. But it's put in place for the future resurrection that is to happen. Yeah. In other words, because Christ died and rose from the grave, we too can rise from the grave. Wow, what do you mean by that? Well, we understand this whole resurrection and living and dying and being resurrected. We understand that this had to happen because of what has already happened. Remember we talked about Adam? And we talked about Adam being the one who has already sinned and messed up. So as this text tells us, it was by a man that death came. Yeah, but also by man that resurrection has come. Resurrection from the dead. So as in Adam, all die. But in Christ, all shall be made alive. Yeah, one man caused death, pain, anguish to everybody. But one man also caused life and resurrection to everybody. Yeah, Adam died. Adam sinned, messed up, death came. Christ came, lived a perfect life, died for our sins, and rose from the grave, and we too can rise. Now, the great part about all of that is, I know somebody said, well, how can that happen? How can one man mess up everybody? How can one man mess up everything that we thought about and thought we could do in life? How can one do that? Well, you recognize we are really a team. Yeah, we're on a team. Now, we say we're on a team that we're in Christ, so you can understand that. We could talk more in team as a team metaphor. As we think about basketball, football, we'll take basketball. You think about it. You're playing, and whoever playing the game of basketball, they're playing, and when the person has the ball going down the court, get on the sideline and about to hit that three-point shot, but when they lean back to hit that three-point shot, actually steps across the line and shoots. Well, guess what? The ball has to be turned over, not because all of the team messed up, but one person. And because that one person messed up, the ball goes to the other team. One person, just one person. Or if you're doing football, yeah, one can get the ball and be running back, running like almost the whole 100 yards, just running and dashing and getting there, trying to get for a touchdown, getting there almost right there to go, but somebody blocks somebody else in the back. The flag flies. One man caused the whole team to be penalized. One man, that's how that happened. But in the same games, you could have one man that when the clock is going down, 5, 4, 3, and the team losing by 2, and one man stands behind the 3 and shoots, and it goes 0 and in, the whole team wins. Because of one man at that time. So we understand how, even though Adam messed up, Adam sinned, and we were all caught in the sin. But when Christ came and lived a perfect life, when Christ died for our sins, and then when Christ rose from the grave, we too will benefit in what one man did. And he did it for you and for me. For as by man came death, by man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And even though Christ lived a perfect sinless life, he humbled himself. Yes, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death. He did die, y'all. Let me say it again. We remember, as we talk about this week, we remember how Christ came and lived and went about doing good. You hear all the time, and I want us to be very clear about the message that we ought to take to everyone else. The whole next series of sermons and teachings will be on evangelizing, that we, those of us who know Christ, ought to be sharing Christ with others. And I know many times we say, well, what is it that I'm to share about Christ with others? We're to tell them the gospel story out of whatever else we tell them, out of whatever else we try to say and convince others to do whatever we ask them to do for the cause of Christ. We need to let them actually know that Jesus came, lived on this earth, went about doing good. But out of all the good he did, they talked about him, ridiculed him, called him everything but a child of God. We will tell them that he had nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorns on his head, and on the cross, Jesus died for your sins and my sins. He did die a terrible death.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
But we don't have to cry about it.
No, that's right.
And stay mourning about it. He died and was buried.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing more, seemingly more helpless and painful than death itself. You can't do anything about death. Death seems to be so final. Death seems to always be the end. We mourn when we lose loved ones who we loved and we care for and they die. But we don't sorrow as those who have no hope. Because we know, yes, he died. Yes, he was placed in a tomb. But early on that third day, we know early on Sunday morning, as Reverend George already talked about, as he was driving in, early on Sunday morning before the sun got up, Jesus got up from the grave. But he didn't just get up, he got up with all power, power over the grave, victory over death. He ascended into heaven. Well, how does that help us today? And that we're going to do, and how we're going to do it. Listen to how Paul talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, but we have this treasure, this message, this gift that God has given us. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carry in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Christ's sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So because of all this, notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, so we do not lose heart, though our outward self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. In other words, what we're going through here every day of our lives is only a testimony of what we're about to receive. We may be going through some difficult times, some hard times, but God allows us to go through that because he's renewing us day by day. Notice verse 17 says, for the light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. In other words, no matter what we're going through, when we go through what we go through here for the cause of Christ, when we're looking unto the Lord as our Lord and Savior, when we're looking to live like God wants to live, when we're looking to give like God wants us to give, when we're looking to do what God wants us to do, whatever suffering we go through, whatever trial and tribulation we go through, he's letting us know that it's going to be all right, because we're only going to do that for a little while we're on this side. But because Jesus came, because Jesus died, and because Jesus got up, we can look forward to an eternal weight of glory that far outweighs anything else we've gone through. He tells us this, for the light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things which are seen, but to the things which are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal.
Yes.
He calls us to love. He calls us to share. He calls us to have compassion with one another, that he might receive the glory. What did Jesus do when he came? The Bible says he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death. He did die. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead.
Yeah.
Philippians 2 begins at 5 says, and now, and 8 says, and now being formed in human form, he humbled himself. Being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Christ humbled himself. If Christ humbled himself, what about us? Shouldn't we humble ourselves to be obedient? But he became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And because of that, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, I'm talking about he died. I'm talking about he rose. But I'm talking about he is coming back again. And when he comes back again, it won't be a discussion about was there a Christ. Won't be in discussion about is he real. Won't be in discussion about can he rule in our lives. Won't be in discussion about, well, you know, I just feel like, you know, there's a God somewhere and I'm going to worship God. No, won't be any of that coming at this time. It says when he comes back and at the name of Jesus, it says every knee, not some knees, Not most knees, but it says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We got to praise God on the day because he rose. He rose. Christ Jesus rose today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He rose. He rose. Salvation to employ. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me. You ask me. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. We gotta give God the praise. We gotta give him the glory. Happy Resurrection morning. Happy Resurrection Sunday. He lives today. He lives today. He lives to tell them I serve a living Savior who's in the world today. Tell them he lives in me. Tell them he'll help you everywhere you go. Tell them he'll help you in spite of how helpless the situation might be. Tell them he lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. What an awesome day. He lives. He lives. He lives.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.